This is one of those weeks. It is scripture intensive. There's going to be a lot of scripture today, a lot of it towards the back end, but there's going to be a lot of scripture because I believe scripture speaks the best when it comes to giving a message. That's just me. But I'm going to start with a line from a movie. It's an older movie, but a lot of you probably know it. There was a movie in 1987 called Wall Street. It starred Michael Douglas. He played Gordon Gekko, a top investment banker, who's at a conference. And I kind of remember, I haven't seen the movie in a little bit, I kind of remember him holding a microphone right in front of him like this. And he says, "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that need is, for the lack of a better word, is good. Need is right. Need works." You remember that line? No? You're right. It's what? It was greed. Oh, well, never mind. That's different. But actually, there's a portion in today's, there's a scripture in today's portion that seems to relate to this. And it's Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18. My clicker was already on. Okay, it still works. Let's read Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18. "You may say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has made me this wealth. Rather, you are to remember Adonai, your God, for it is he who gives you power to make wealth, in order to establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." Even to this day, it's still true. When Moses wrote these words, "Rather, you are to remember," he was saying, you need to know this forever. He says that Adonai gives us strength to make wealth. But that doesn't mean that we don't need him. In fact, we need him all the time. So where greed, thinking that you can do it on your own, is not good at all, the need of him is very good. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. We need God. We need him. Because there are a lot of different ways that we need him. But they really do all come down to one true reality. We need him all the time, even just to live out our lives. Because there are a lot of different ways that we need him. As we go about our lives, our daily lives, so many ways. And sometimes it feels like God's not involved in this or God's not involved in that. I'm just driving to pick up some bread. I'm just sitting in front of the TV, vegging out. But he is in all things. And we're to keep him in our thoughts all the time. And keeping him in our thoughts means trusting in him, as he told us to in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. "Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now the Amplified Version, Amplified Bible Version, says to trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. How is this related to going for bread or watching TV? What are you watching? Does not everything you let into your mind and heart affect the way you live out your life? Is the way you drive, the way you interact with other people while you're driving, does that show who you are? Now, know this. I'm not saying this as someone who has it all down pat. I'm not perfect in this way. But we all have to examine our lives and examine our relationship and how we allow Adonai into all the things we do, as the proverb said. Why are we encouraged to say a blessing before a meal? It's to remind ourselves of our need that He's involved in everything. Why do many of us say the Shema as we fall asleep and wake up? It's to remind ourselves of the need that we have of a relationship with Him all day. This all helps us to live out our lives, not just as we want to, but as He wants us to. Regardless what we're doing, we need God's wisdom to get through life successfully. There are so many decisions that we have to make each and every day. And I would say that they really can all be hard. Even the easy ones can be hard because it's hard to distinguish what's truly best and right with just our own understanding. We need God's wisdom to help us discern and make good decisions. Regardless how often we do something, we should still be thinking and praying about what are we about to do. And I'm not saying we should be paralyzed by the thought, am I doing this right? Am I doing this by God's? That's really not what I'm saying. But we want the wisdom of Adonai to be involved in what we do. We can come to a decision about an action we take every day and maybe multiple times a day. But we still want to check with Adonai if this is the way that He wants us to do it. For those of us who make important decisions at the workplace every day or even multiple times a day, are we looking for the wisdom of Adonai to ensure the correct decision? We can go through the same scenario 10 times, do it the same way 10 times in a row. But is the 11th time the way we should do it the same way, or does Adonai want us to do it a different way? Only God knows what's actually going to happen. Let's think about how King David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. For 20 years, it was in the house of Abinadab, where it was after the Philistines returned it on a cart. David wanted to bring it to Jerusalem. He asked the people around him, and they all thought it was a great idea. Yes, let's bring it to Jerusalem. And we see in 1 Chronicles 13, what David did was he put the Ark on a brand new cart, just like the Philistines did when they sent it back. But he did it without consulting Adonai first. If he had, he would have been told that the ark must be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. David thought that the last time the ark would moved, it was on a cart, so it should be okay. But that was not how it should have been done. And he learned the hard way. With David, we see both sides of this Proverbs. Proverbs 28:26. Whoever trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will escape. David played the part of the fool, trusting in what he came up with himself, but then used the wisdom of the priests and scriptures to do what was right. So he played that both sides of that proverb. We do sometimes the same thing. We do something, it fails. We go and we cry to Adonai, why, why? He tells us, and then we succeed. If we are to live right, then we must be in constant contact with Adonai through the Ruach, through the Word. We need to be the one who lives on the vine of Adonai's, which will lead us to a life with fruit. Jeremiah relayed the words of Adonai in Jeremiah 17 about this. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. Then thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and those heart and whose heart, wow, I'm having a hard time reading. Let's try again. Thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and whose heart turns from Adonai. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He cannot see goodness when it comes, but will dwell in parched places, in the wilderness, a salt land where no one lives. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots by a stream. It has no fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It does not worry in a year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. Okay, I forgot the... You'll take it, okay. We're told not to trust in men, and that includes ourselves as well. By doing so, we are a withered, dried-up bush who is alone in a salt desert and is not able to see any good when it comes to us. But by living attached to the vine of Adonai, by being confident in his word and instructions, we are not a small bush, but a tree that is in the perfect spot for life. And we can grow without worry of the hard times, and we will yield fruit for him. We are not to live out our lives in our own. We are not made for that. We need to be connected to Adonai and to have his wisdom in our lives. The wisdom that is required for this life really is not hard to come by. Look what James tells us in order to gain wisdom. So James 1, verse 5. Do I have it? Do you have it? I got it. Thank you. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him seek it in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Look how easy it is. Just ask God. But ask in full faith and without doubting. Ask without doubting what he wants or is able to give you. Asking without faith and trust is described as being the one who's being knocked around by the waves of a storm that surround them. And they are not stable and will not get what they ask for. But we are to see that his words are available to us when we fully have faith and trust in Adonai. And we see this in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. Trust in Adonai and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on faithfulness. Delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you the request of your heart. Commit your way to Adonai. Trust in him, and he will do it. He will do it for us when we understand our need for Him and delight in Him. Delight in the fact that we acknowledge our need and He will and does meet the needs we have of knowing Him and His good word. Of course, asking for wisdom is asking that we understand the Torah. Lacking wisdom comes from either not acknowledging Torah or not understanding it because you're trying to read it on your own, through your own understanding and based on your own experiences of past life. This doesn't work because His ways are above our ways. So how do we gain the understanding of Torah for the wisdom that we need? The answer is 1 Corinthians 2, as written by Shaul. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But it is written, things no eye has seen or and no ear has heard. But it is written, things no eye has seen and no ear has heard that have not entered the heart of mankind. These things God has prepared for those who love Him. But God revealed these things to us through the Ruach. For the Ruach searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the things of men except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the things of God except the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. The eyes and the ears and the heart of men do not understand the things that Adonai has prepared when we search them out on our own. But through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Lord, we gain the understanding of Torah's instructions for us. We see the perfect example of this through the disciples of Yeshua. And what happened after Yeshua's death? While the disciples were together trying to understand what's going on and what's going to happen next, Yeshua visited them. And we get this description of what happened in Luke 24, starting in verse 44 of Luke 24. Then he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written concerning me in the Torah of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, so it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the removal of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Not ending in Jerusalem, beginning in Jerusalem. Not ending with the Jews, beginning with the Jews. It's not until Yeshua opened their mind that they understood what was happening and what was written in Torah about Him and the times that they were living through. We too will not be able to understand the Torah, its instructions for us to live, or the prophecies about the Messiah even, or anything else that's happened or is to come, unless He opens our minds up to it. Just as it was at that time that He spoke to the disciples, He now sent the Ruach, the Spirit, to us so that we can understand and acknowledge and know what He's given us. But we have to align ourselves up with Him first. The ultimate need that we have of Adonai is Messiah Yeshua and the gift that He presents to us. It is the need that we have for an eternity in heaven before Him and not to be confined to, or condemned to hell. Our eternity is ours. This eternity of ours is our ultimate need. Humanity's need for mercy and forgiveness is rooted in the universal reality of sin. In Romans 3:22-3:25, we are told that the lives we live while in the flesh are the same for all in the flesh. So let's read Romans 3:22, starting there. Namely, the righteousness of God through putting trust in Messiah Yeshua to all who keep on trusting. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of His grace through the redemption that is Messiah Yeshua. God set forth Yeshua as an atonement through faith in His blood to show His righteousness in passing over sins already committed. The inherent sinfulness of men separates all of humanity from God, creating a profound need for divine mercy and forgiveness to restore that broken relationship. We are not able to do it ourselves, so our need appears even bigger. The lack of redemption by the blood of Yeshua looms over all who have not accepted the gift of salvation from Him. Even King David saw this need that we all have back in his day, as the need for salvation is the same now, then, and always. Look at Psalm 118, where King David wrote this. Psalm 118, starting in verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and praise Adonai. This is the gate of Adonai. The righteousness will enter through it. I give you thanks because you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now the Jewish commentaries, most of them say that this is the Psalm of Deliverance, is by King David, who is going into Jerusalem and is asking for a specific gate called righteousness to be opened up so that he can come into the city, so that he can come to the temple. But that final line shows what it really is. David is acknowledging that he is in need of Adonai to give him righteousness so that the gate that leads to Adonai for all eternity will be open to him. He knows that he needs Adonai for salvation, to be in his presence for all eternity. This is the same need that Shaul knew all men had when he wrote to the Philippians. Shaul had just told the Philippians in the verses prior that they were very generous, that they met his needs that he had physically. Now Shaul writes to them about their own need. Philippians 4:19, my God will fulfill every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Shaul is saying that Adonai will meet every need they have, not what they want. I believe that Shaul started out by speaking about the financial needs that he had, but then in response to the generosity of them, he tells them of their spiritual need that the Philippians have. And that is Adonai who will meet those needs. And it's all done by the Ruach HaKodesh. He is described as our helper by Yeshua in John 14. Starting in verse 16 of John 14, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, so He may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer behold me, but you will behold me. Because I live, you also will live. We live an eternal life in his presence because he lives in us. We get our lives by and through him who is the Ruach. It is the Ruach who gives us the life we live, as we're told in Romans 8. Romans 8, starting in verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Ruach, if indeed the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Ruach of Messiah, he does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the sin is alive. The Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Ruach, if the Ruach of the one who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Ruach who dwells in you. The Ruach takes up residence within us when we are a temple for him. 1 Corinthians 6 had this to say about our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, excuse me as I pop a cork drop. 'Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.' We have a need for the Ruach HaKodesh to live within us and to make us a temple for him. Being a temple for him means that we have a need and an obligation to be holy for him and not to act in ways that causes disgrace towards him. In order to not act disgracefully in his eyes, we need to remember words and promises made to us. He tells us multiple times in Scripture to remember his sayings and commandments. Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah 44, verse 21, starting there. Remember these things, Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. These words are both great reminders of what Adonai has said throughout all of Scripture and what we need to remember, especially in the harder times that we live through. In the valleys, it may seem that we're not remembered by God, but he says that it is not true. He's always remembering us. But we need to always remember the truth, his words, and himself. We need to know, remember, and live out his instructions. And we can only do this by knowing, remembering, and studying his words to us from Genesis to Revelation. Then we'll be able to mean the words that are in Psalm 68:10. For you are great, and you do wonders. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Adonai, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to fear your name. We can only be taught the words of Adonai and to live the words of Adonai when we are in the word of Adonai with a heart that does not doubt or lack faith. We can only not doubt and have faith when we are in his word daily and living them out. When we remember why the word of Adonai was given to us, then it's easier to press in. We need to remember what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a chosen, royal, holy people of God's own possession with one job: to proclaim the praises of the one who called us out of darkness. But we're not to do this in the privacy of our homes or our congregation. We are created for what Shaul states in Ephesians 2, starting in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared for him beforehand, so we might walk in them. We are called for the good deeds which God has prepared beforehand to complete. We should ask, what are they? And this actually leads us to the final part of the message today. What does God need from us? Adonai does not need anything. But his word does tell us the things that he requires from us. Look at Micah 6 for this. Micah 6:8. He has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking from you. Only practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. The prophet Micah tells us what Adonai is seeking from you. He doesn't really need, but he wants something from us. He asks of us. He looks for us for something. It's justice, mercy, and humility in our daily lives. Adonai does not really need help in anything. As creator and curator of the whole universe, he can do as he wishes. But he wishes to do through you and I. This is why he wants and needs us to be merciful and humble in our lives, and to speak out so that we can complete what was said in 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And when he entrusted the message of reconciliation to us, we are therefore ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to God. Adonai does not need as we need, but his desire for us to work for him, to be the ambassador to others so that they will know him and know their need for him. We need, his need for us, or from us, is that we act as he wants us to, so that others will want to be in relationship with him, and then act as he wants them to act, so others would want to be in relationship with him. And the why he wants this from us and from others was said earlier today. It is for our own need for eternity. He needs us to act in a way that will show our need to be in his presence for all eternity and our desire to share the good news with others. We have a need to be in his presence. He has a desire for us to be in his presence. It all happens out of a love for him and for each other. So there's a need that we have. And perhaps we can say that he has a need as well. His need is that all the world hear of the blood of Yeshua and the salvation that comes through it, which will be done by you and me. Father, we thank you that through your word, we can understand just what our need is. Our need to know you, our need to understand you, our need to know Torah, to perform Torah, not as a way of salvation, but as a way of showing you our love for you. Father, we just thank you and praise you that, yes, you've shown us that we have a need, but you've also shown us the way to satisfy that need through Torah. Through your love for us, through our love for each other and our humility before you. So, Father, I just pray that our needs, I know our need will be met. I just pray that you would use us to show the world that they also have a need to know you, a need to love you, a need to depend upon you, a need to be cleansed by the blood of Messiah Yeshua, so that our need for eternity will be met, one that will sit us before your throne and not cast out into an eternity of hell. Ruach, we just thank you for the word today and for your love today. And everyone said, amen and amen. Amen. God is good, and we have a need that he's willing to fill.